Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. For some seniors, the healthcare system is a bit overwhelming. Sure, there's your own doctor, but then there are all the specialists. Some are local, and others you need to go to Oshawa or Peterborough or even Toronto. Then there are the others, depending on your illness. The foot doctor, the dietitian, the eye guy, and so on. And how do you get all these appointments? And how can you afford it all? Plus, what about socializing or getting out for a walk or getting to your place of worship? It can be pretty complicated. A new program being launched by the Ontario Health Team Northumberland hopes to make navigating all these systems easier and is looking for volunteers to help out. Here is that story. I'm so pleased to have with me today three guests to talk about a brand new program. Trish Baird, co-chair of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland Collaboration Council and executive director of Community Care Northumberland. This is the organization overseeing this new program in partnership with the Ontario Health Teams of Northumberland. Scott McPherson is also joining me. He is the co-chair of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland Experience Partner Council. And also joining me is Kelly Peterson, Volunteer Peer Support Coordinator with Community Care Northumberland. Everyone, welcome to Consider This.
Thank you.
Trish, I'd like to begin with you. Why are you excited about this new program? Can you tell me in like a sentence or two what's got you super excited about this new program to help seniors in our community navigate the healthcare system?
Rob, what I'm excited about with this new program is it crosses all sectors of the healthcare and social service. So you could take advantage of this program no matter where you are. You don't have to be a community care client or a patient at the hospital. You can be anybody and involved in any organization. And it looks at the whole person. So it's looking at not only their maybe some of their health challenges, but also some of those social determinants of health that may get overlooked when you're dealing with people and just one or two conditions. So this is looking at trying to help whatever the person needs across their whole spectrum of their life.
Kelly, tell me what's got you excited.
I'm very excited that we're offering this to seniors. I've done a lot of wraparound work in my time with children and youth and families. And with my experiences with seniors, seeing the lack of connection with seniors and their community, I just love that this wraparound program is going to incorporate them and really connect them to their community and the services that are out there for them that they may not be aware of.
Scott McPherson, same challenge for you.
Rob, as people who know me, I don't really get excited. It's no longer in my lexicon, but I do think it's a positive step forward. I've been working on volunteer peer support since its inception, and this seems like the right first step. It's concrete. I have much broader hopes for this is really a way to get us going, and it looks like it's going to happen. COVID slowed it down, but I think we're there. So I am pleased about it.
Trish, I want to come back to you now. Let's get down into the weeds and start to explain this. So the Ontario Health Team in Northumberland has announced this Volunteer Peer Support Program. That's its official name. Can you give us a summary of what this program entails?
Just to give some background, this program, the idea of it has been roaming around for a good 3 years, and it's taken a long time to get to this point. So it was first brought to the forefront with a lot of planning through a table, a group of health providers. I think it started back in 2017, 2018. So what we were looking at is what are some of the priorities for people that live in Northumberland County? And where can, there was some money available to support initiatives in the community, and how could that be best used? So we wanted to basically improve care and support for our most vulnerable people. And how could we do that? So through some planning and some discussions, we came up with the idea of this volunteer peer support program. It's kind of gone through a few different iterations, but it's, as Kelly mentioned, it's a wraparound approach, and it is modeled and uses the wraparound from Wrap Canada teaching and training to support seniors and vulnerable older adults in the community.
What do you mean when you talk about wraparound services? What does that mean to me as a patient in this community?
So it's wraparound, essentially, it's person and family driven, team-based planning. So a client or a patient that is needing support comes to our wraparound program or volunteer peer support program, and they are matched with our trained volunteers. Volunteer facilitators, and the volunteers will guide them. It's very person-centered. The patient basically plans their wraparound program based on their goals, expectations, focusing on the 10 life domains of where they need help within their life. So the term wraparound is basically the facilitator wraps a team of support and services, informal, formal supports around our older adults to help guide them to reach their end goals or support that they're requiring.
What we're really talking about here is a very individualized approach. It's very customized to the person who has the needs. And then you go through a grocery list of services, everything from health to a bunch of other things. And you say, this is it, like, just like a buffet. You come along and
right.
put a little
yes.
bit of food on it. What do you like? What do you need? You know, make sure it's all balanced and nutritious, and then you consume it.
Yeah, and it provides them a sense of control over their own life. They have a team and a support system that's what they want. They're not going to have people on their team that maybe aren't the most beneficial to them. So it's a nice way for the clients to take control of their plan and where they want to move forward.
Now, Scott, when we talk about wrapping around services, why is this so important to the users of the system?
Patients and clients have typically dealt with professionals. When they get a wrap-trained person, this person has been trained in... they become culturally sensitive. They're based on needs-based, strength-based. They're culturally competent. They may be experienced similarly. They can relate. There's no blaming. There's no shaming. They can meet the client at the same place. It's a very focused engagement. They learn how to engage with the client. You know, they go through a planning and implementation, and then they exit, they terminate it. So it's a short term, hopefully it may be longer, but it really, a client or a patient who may feel isolated with the big, large healthcare system now has what might almost feel like a buddy or a system of buddies that are helping them through, helping them plan their system, helping them grow, helping them think, helping them do things on their own, not being judged, helping them make their own decisions. So it's not this, you know, they're not getting told you're being non-compliant, you're being shamed, so it's a far more, for a lot of them, it may feel very new. So I think it's just, it could be a whole new experience.
Trish, it's really interesting when we listen to Scott and what he said. It, you know, this program seems to be focusing on navigating and accessing services. But I guess the bigger question is why do we need this? So what is the problem this program is trying to solve? And I wonder if Scott's alluded to it. Maybe you could flesh that out for us, please.
Yeah, I think we've often talked about our work is too siloed across the system. And so if I use an example of somebody coming into community care and they need assistance with applying for a disability pension, let's say, or senior, you know, and we kind of, well, we don't really do that. You know, try here, try there. But a lot of places, the person leaves and so we're only looking after one part of that individual's journey as they're trying to make themselves more comfortable. So I think because of our siloed system, we aren't able to sit down and really focus with our clients on all of their needs. And we can't always service everything for the client, the person. So this way you may have a team around some of your goals, whether it's housing or financial stability. And in the WRAP program, we can reach out and get help the person get people to join their team that can help them meet those goals. So it's almost bringing together different expertise, and it may be the neighbor down the road, but you know, these are the client themselves decides who's part of that team and how they will see success at the end of the day.
Why is it taken to this point to sort of get our heads around this type of approach? What has changed that facilitated the creation of this program? Trish, could you maybe tell me about that?
Well, I think definitely putting money into prevention has not been a very positive, or it's not been very popular. It's sometimes easy. It's not easy to count. Whereas fixing a hip or a knee, or you know, getting somebody signed up to something, it's easier to count. So looking at quality of life and what does that mean, and how to prevent person getting into these crisis situations, it's really hard to get funding support to do that. And in the community sector, whether it's community in the health community or in social services, those preventative quality of life, helping people become stable in the community, it's just really difficult to fund. And I don't have the answer to that, but fortunately we have a little bit of funding and have shown that the benefits of this will help the system further down the line. And once we show that, maybe that will expand some more, but it is difficult to make that business case.
But do you also think too, I just wonder out loud, if the Ontario Health Team approach has broken down some of those silos, which has then facilitated this kind of a program. Am I going down the wrong path on that, or is that?
No, you're right. Like in the Ontario Health Team, there's 14, I think, different partners, and we all have known each other and worked together to a certain extent. But now, with the Health Team, we are all signed on to. We are supporting this project, and we will be able to, you know, embrace this within our organization, with our people, with our clients. So it just brings it much more to the forefront, and hopefully that will continue.
Kelly, I want to talk to you about recruiting volunteers. Can you explain how you're going about the recruitment process and what type of people you're looking for?
Oh, yes, we are happy to announce that we will be offering our volunteer facilitator training at the end of this month. So we have begun the recruiting of our volunteers. With the OHT, we've had some media releases put out there. We're really getting it out there on social media and making word of this great program. In terms of what we're looking for in a volunteer, so we want somebody that has experience working and supporting older adults or seniors within our area. They are required to complete the 4-day wraparound training, which will happen at the end of this month, as I said. So somebody with excellent communication and listening skills, someone that's empathetic and caring, an ability to kind of perform professional relationships with community providers, and as well as supporting the individuals that they will be matched with. So of course, a knowledge of community groups and support groups within Northumberland County is a benefit for our volunteers. Other volunteer training programs are an asset, and just an overall understanding of the services that are out there to support our clients that will be part of this program.
And how many people are you looking to recruit at this time?
So at this time, for our first round of training, we are looking to recruit 20 volunteers.
And how's it been going so far? How many have you had sign up?
It's been very popular so far. We have 14 volunteers registered at this time. We just launched this program, I think, about a week and a half ago. So we've had great uptake on interest to be a volunteer.
Now, you've alluded to this earlier, but what will they be trained to do? Give us some examples of the kinds of things they'll be learning.
So it's a four-day training, as I've alluded to. So basically, the responsibilities as a volunteer facilitator and kind of the core values of wraparound are, it's a four-phase process. So the first phase is the engagement phase. So they're going to learn strategies to engage their clients, their older adults, and their family members, and working with them to develop a working relationship. So enabling the volunteer facilitator to be as effective and efficient as possible when doing the engagement phase. The second phase is the planning phase. So to create a plan using the wraparound planning process. So builds trust, shared vision among team members, and is consistent with the wraparound values and principles. So that's kind of the day two of the training. Day three is the implementation. So to monitor and review progress and successes. So meet with the team regularly to make changes to the plan as required. So the activities of this phase are repeated until the goals and visions have been achieved. The planning process is no longer needed. So then that final phase and the kind of the final day of the training is the transition period. So to guide the team in focusing on the transition of the client out of the formal wraparound process. So reviewing the strengths, reviewing the team plan, and the needs, and identifying services and supports that have met those needs and that can be ongoing as the client goes through the services.
Now, what follow-up is done in terms of maintaining standards, of providing support to these volunteers, to monitoring what's been going on in the field, et cetera? Can you maybe explain how that works?
Right. So they will be in regular communication with myself as the coordinator. We will often, we'll have surveys that we will be providing them just to get their feedback on how the program's going, what's going well, what needs improvement, how we can support them to have a better opportunity within the wraparound program. So there will be lots of communication, lots of time for networking, bringing the volunteers together to network, kind of bounce ideas off of each other and ways that they can improve on how their wraparound situation is going.
Scott, I associate a lot of what we've talked about so far is things that I go to my doctor to do. You know, usually when I go to my doctor's appointment, they usually say to me, you know, here's what's going on. You need to go see this specialist or that specialist. Then there's follow-up appointments. From a patient's perspective, what is the difference to having a volunteer come and talk to me? And what are some of the challenges you foresee as people try to become accustomed to this idea of talking to somebody who's not necessarily a medical professional?
You asked Trish the question why this hasn't caught on, and Trish talked about a funding. In some ways, I had a long work career as well as history in mental health and addictions. So much of our health, we try and do with a professional health system, and yet so much of it needs to help. We need a help of other people, almost as if we need to recover with the help of others. And just like in addictions, they talk about recovery. This, in my mind, is parallel to that. It's like these people will be meeting with others to recover in their way with others, with their help. And if we thought about health as more of a recovery sort of perspective across the board, and that we're interjecting people to stop. You're not alone. You have a team you're part of. I think that's what we're starting to do. And I think training people to start building that system presents volunteer peer support with unlimited growth potential. And what we're doing is creating this base. How you create the groundswell, that remains to be seen. I personally think the healthcare system is unsustainable without having a large volunteer support system. And I'm hoping, this is my big picture, that this is just the start. That's where I'll get excited.
Anybody that's been a caregiver to somebody who's elderly or has worked with elderly know that many times they are very cautious or fearful, and they don't want to go out and they don't want to meet new people, or they get anxious about meeting new people or new systems. Can you talk from a patient's point of view about how this system is going to work to bridge those gaps where the elderly just really are anxious about the whole system and feel that they might get being pulled into something that they don't like or something that makes them feel uncomfortable?
I haven't taken the RAP training. I've thought about it. COVID's kind of got me a little nervous right now. I've gotten very introverted. I think we always have to think about models of change and readiness. Someone still has to be ready to take something like this on. And if they're not, if they're in a completely pre-contemplative place, they may just not be ready to do it. And with those kind of people, all we can do is give them information, tell them about it. They may or may not be ready. But if they are a little open, we'll start to build that relationship. And part of the RAP training, which Kelly can probably talk about, and I'm sure they'll talk about it the first day, is how do you start to deal with that? You want to get that client in kind of that ambivalent place where maybe yes, maybe no. And how do you start to break down that ambivalence? And clearly, yes, as people get older, that reticence grows. And one of the things with RAP has been predominantly used with youth. And there have been some senior programs. There was one east of us in Leeds County that I think was fairly successful. We're going to be up there, kind of people are going to be watching how we do. And so it's a good question.
This sounds a lot, Trish, like a program that launched in 2013 called PATH, or Partners Advancing Transitions in Healthcare. is this version 2.0, or is it really different?
I would say you're correct in the sense of those were called volunteer coaches. There was a bit of a structure framework around that, but this is much more, I would say the framework around this wraparound is much more fulsome than the PATH was. The PATH project, a lot of the volunteer coaches in that project were helping with technology, because technology was a big piece of that project. But it is a similar type of volunteer that we are looking for, someone with lived experience and interested in helping others. So 2.0 would be a good example.
When can people start accessing these services? What will be the timeline?
So we will be accepting participant referrals before the end of this year. We're getting our volunteers trained in this wraparound program, and then we will be opening it up to our participants. So within the next couple months, we'll be opening the program up to them.
Trish Baird, Scott McPherson, Kelly Peterson, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Trish Baird, Kelly Peterson, and Scott McPherson.
I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today.
Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.